KJAN Sports.
It is time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center at 2nd and Poplar in Atlantic. See them for all of your automotive needs. Well, let's check sports locally first. In high school regional volleyball play last night, Class 1A Region 2 action. It was West Harrison over Heartland Christian in three straight games. Essex beat Fremont Mills 3-1. And also three-game sweeps last night by East Mills over Riverside, Westwood over Whiting, Bowyer Valley over Woodbine, and Arweva over Charter Oak Ute. In Class 1A Region 3, in a match heard here on KJAN last night, it was Cam sweeping three straight from Orient Maxburg to advance. Exira EHK also defeated Coon Rapids Bayard 3-1. Stanton, a 3-game sweep over Clarinda Academy. Bedford beat South Page 3-1. And East Union and Lennox, both 3-game sweeps over their opponents. East Union beat Diagonal and Lennox over Murray, both 3-0. Also in 2A play last night from Region 1, Logan Magnolia beat AHSTW in three straight. In Region 2, IKM Manning swept three from ACGC. In Region 4 in Class 2A, Van Meter topping West Central Valley in three straight. Also in Region 5, Griswold beat Southwest Valley 3-1. Mount Air swept three from Nottoway Valley last night. Also regular season volleyball in the Hawkeye 10, it was Lewis Central over Shenandoah 3-1. Now, regional action continues tonight in the larger classes. In 3A, in Region 2 play tonight, Atlantic will open up postseason play at home as they'll face Greene County. And you can hear that match tonight here on KJAN and online at KJAN.com. We'll have that for you. Chris Parks will have all the action for you at 6:50 tonight. He's on the air. 7 o'clock is the scheduled match time tonight. That's Atlantic hosting Greene County, 3A Region 2. Also in Region 2 tonight, Kemper Catholic is home to Southeast Valley. Creston plays at Red Oak. Shenandoah is at Clarinda. In Class 4A play tonight in Region 2, Harlan is at Glenwood. Carroll is at Denison. And in Region 5A, or in Class 5A, Region 2, it's Thomas Jefferson at Abraham Lincoln over Council Bluffs tonight. All those winners will advance in postseason play. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz is happy with the way his team rebounded after a tough loss. The Hawkeyes bounced back from a 38-31 loss to Northwestern with road wins over Minnesota and Purdue, and they can climb right back into the Big Ten West race with a victory over 10th-ranked Wisconsin.
I mean, you know, we were disappointed. You're disappointed anytime you lose. We lost to a good football team that day. We knew that. We sensed that, at least, and I think history's proven that to be true. So, but nonetheless, you know, the season's going to move on, and you got to move on too. And the biggest thing was, you know, what's our response going to be? We're going to get back up on our feet and go to work, or, you know, just accept a bad outcome.
Ferentz says the Hawkeyes met the challenge after stumbling to a 3-2 start. Wisconsin is ranked 10th despite consecutive losses to Michigan and Ohio State, and Ferentz says the Badgers deserve that ranking.
You know, these guys are playing really good football. A lot was said about their schedule, you know, preceding the season. And, you know, they've just taken each game one step at a time. It always hasn't been as pretty as they probably wanted, but, you know, they've got a good record, and they've got, more importantly, they've got a good football team that really plays well. And, again, it doesn't seem to matter if they're on the road or at home. They play good football.
Well, Ferentz hopes that tight end George Kittle will be available Saturday. He injured a foot in the win at Purdue, but x-rays were negative. Ferentz also says LaShawn Daniels and Akram Wadley have become a good combination at running back. Wisconsin coach Paul Christ says the Hawkeyes have played well the past 2 weeks. Iowa won a defensive battle a year ago in Madison, but Christ says that won't play a factor in Saturday's outcome.
This is our team this year, and we all, those of us who were part of it last year, we understand what happened. And yet none of that carries forward. We got a ton of respect for Iowa, and I do certainly for their program, but it's about this Saturday, who's the best team.
Chris says the proximity of the fans makes playing in Kinnick Stadium a bit unique. We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio, 9 o'clock pregame, 11 o'clock kickoff from Iowa City. Well, the deadline is fast approaching for you to nominate someone to be honored as a Hero of the Heartland at the Iowa-Nebraska football game November 25th in Iowa City. Iowa Region American Red Cross Communications Officer Kara Kelly says a person can be a hero for several different reasons.
We're looking for people who really have gone above and beyond. Maybe there was an extraordinary act of courage. It could be a life-saving act, or could be somebody who's just dedicated countless hours to a special cause.
Well, the deadline to nominate someone is Monday, October 24th.
We have not received a lot of nominations so far. I think we're getting drowned out a little bit by a lot of news that's happening, whether it's political, and, you know, we've had a lot of disaster news lately, both locally and nationally, so... get those nominations in.
Well, you can make those nominations online.
Go to redcross.org/Iowa. If you do that, there's a picture of Herbie and Herky at the top of the page that you can click on and submit your nomination for the Hy-Vee Heroes game.
A hero from both Iowa and Nebraska will be honored before the crowd at Kinnick Stadium. People nominated to be a hero must be at least 18 years of age and live, work, or go to school in either Iowa or Nebraska, but their act of heroism or good deed need not have occurred in either of the states. Well, the 10 schools that make up the Big 12 are bound together by a deal committing their television rights to the conference through the 2024-25 school year. That grant of rights ends with the expiration of the conference's $2.6 billion television contract with Fox and ESPN. The question hanging over the Big 12 has always been, when that TV deal runs out, will the conference end as well? Will Texas and Oklahoma, the conference's flagship programs, remain satisfied with being the Big 12's big dogs, or will they seek potentially sweeter deals elsewhere? Expansion wasn't going to change that, so the Big 12 declined on Monday to add two schools from a group of 11 that included BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Connecticut. The conference's leaders then tried their best to put forth a unified front and a positive outlook for the future. Oklahoma President David Boren, the chairman of the Big 12's board of directors, said no one's looking to walk away from this conference. He said any feelings to the contrary are just mistaken. They don't understand the strong commitment that we all have to it. Claiming commitment is nice, a legally binding contract is better, but until the Big 12 starts negotiating another television deal or a revision to the current one, locking up the conference beyond 2025 is not a discussion that's taking place, Boren says. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs have traded backup running back Nile Davis to the Green Bay Packers, who desperately need to add depth to their injury-riddled backfield. The Packers gave up a conditional draft pick Tuesday for Davis, who has already started practicing with his new team. The Packers needed help at running back, with Eddie Lacy nursing a bothersome ankle and James Starks undergoing knee surgery. Lacy was their only active running back against Dallas on Sunday. That means the Packers will have to get Davis up to speed in the playbook quickly if he's going to be ready tomorrow night, when the Chicago Bears visit Lambeau Field. The Davis deal was the start of a slew of roster moves on Tuesday for Kansas City. The Chiefs signed free agent defensive lineman Kendall Reyes, who was with Washington for two games this season. He previously played 4 years in San Diego. Kansas City needed added cornerback Terrence Mitchell, defensive lineman Raheem Nunez-Roches, and linebacker Ramek Wilson from its practice squad. Defensive end Alan Bailey and linebacker Justin March Lillard were placed on injured reserve. Defensive lineman Nick Williams was waived. Well, the Los Angeles Dodgers have taken control of the National League Championship Series by blanking the Chicago Cubs for the second straight game. Rich Hill combined with three relievers on a four-hitter as the Dodgers beat the Cubs 6-0 to take a 2-1 lead. Hill struck out six and held Chicago to two hits and two walks over six innings. The left-hander was sharp after surrendering five runs over seven innings during his two starts in the division series. Yasmani Grandal, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner highlighted the Dodgers' 10-hit attack as Grandal crushed a two-run homer in the fourth off losing pitcher Jake Arrieta and capped the scoring with an RBI grounder in the eighth. Seager opened the scoring with one of his three hits, an RBI single in the third, while Turner launched a solo homer in the sixth to end Arrieta's night. Arrieta was reached for four runs and six hits over five-plus innings. Cubs haven't scored since they put together a five-run eighth inning in the series opener. The Dodgers starters have limited Chicago to three runs and eight hits over 17 innings. Game four is set for tonight in Los Angeles. John Lackey will try to help the Cubs even up the series. The Dodgers will go with Julio Urias, the 20-year-old. The Toronto Blue Jays have extended the American League Championship Series to a fifth game. Aaron Sanchez worked six strong innings, and the Blue Jays avoided a four-game sweep as they downed the Cleveland Indians 5-1. Sanchez limited the Indians to a run and two hits with five strikeouts to help Toronto force a game five. The Blue Jays awoke from their offensive slumber after managing just three runs and 17 hits over the first three games of the series. Third baseman Josh Donaldson opened the scoring with a solo homer in the bottom of the third inning, two innings before his diving stop likely prevented a game-tying run. Donaldson's blast gave the Jays their first lead of the series. Edwin Encarnacion added a two-run single in the seventh to give Toronto some breathing room. The Blue Jays' bullpen came through with three perfect innings to cap the combined two-hitter, as Cleveland couldn't put a runner on base following an RBI double by Roberto Perez in the fifth. Losing pitcher Corey Kluber lasted just five innings while pitching on short rest for the first time in his career, charged with two runs and four hits with seven strikeouts. Game 5 is set for this afternoon. The Blue Jays will send Marco Estrada to the mound against rookie Ryan Merritt. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.